Turning regular children into foster children is meant to be a last resort, used when the situation in the child's home breaks down to the point intervention is needed. More than 500,000 children spent time living with foster parents in a typical year, and there's a constant search for ways to improve the situation for the child so what is naturally a stressful time does not cause permanent damage. The state of Oregon is about to take a new step, hiring an ombudsman or advocate for the foster care system. We have two guests with us today to talk about that. First, Pamela Butler is the Child Welfare Policy Manager at Children First for Oregon. Pamela, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have you here. Zach Miller joins us as well. He is a former product of the foster care system, used to be a foster child himself. Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I understand you're about 20 years old now, is that right?
That is correct. I turned 21 in May.
And what overall impression would you say you were left with about your time in the foster care system?
In fact, I had a generally positive experience in care. I didn't run into a lot of problems, but that has, it's part of what has inspired me to work with the Oregon Foster Youth Connection is because I want more youth to have the same positive experience that I had in care.
And so you're just trying to make it a better situation for more kids?
Of course.
Okay. Pamela Butler, give us an idea of what are some of the threads here that demonstrated the need for a foster care ombudsman.
Yeah. So foster care ombudsman came out of about 3 or 4 years of conversations with youth across Oregon. There are a lot of stories you hear of youth who feel like they are not being heard in the system. They don't have anyone to turn to that they can trust if something's going wrong, if they're having trouble with a caseworker or a foster parent or anyone in the system. They sometimes feel too afraid to talk to those people, and so the ombudsman is supposed to be that neutral party that youth can call if they're having troubles in the system, and it's a complicated system to navigate when you're young.
So would it be the kind of situation where this person's available at an 800 number all day, all night, or at least the office would be to leave a message or something?
Yeah, I believe the hotline will be available. They'll be able to leave messages and then be staffed at certain hours during the day.
There are some options, and I ask these questions because I'm a foster parent myself, so I have some knowledge of the system, obviously. But, children do have lawyers appointed to them who are their advocates. There are CASAs in some counties. There are people already who can speak up for them in cases where they might not choose to speak for themselves. What is considered the need that the ombudsman would fill that those other positions don't?
That's a great question. So the ombudsman is modeled after, well, California actually has had an foster care ombudsman for a number of years, and we looked into how they did it, why they did it, what the outcomes have been, and it's been a really powerful position there for youth to go to. You know, not all youth have CASAs. In fact, when we're talking about older youth in care, they're less likely to have a CASA than the younger kids. So if you're a teen in care and you don't have a CASA and your lawyer has too many cases to really follow up with you, and you've got a caseworker who's completely tapped out and focused maybe on younger kids, this is a place where you can turn for help. And the ombudsman can work with your caseworker and lawyer, but it's another party who a youth could reach out to, especially if some of those problems they're having are with the caseworker or with the lawyer. So this is an extra person that they could go to who has a little bit more authority and they're neutral and can come in and kind of mediate if needed.
Zach Miller, in your time in foster care, were there ever situations where you wished you had a person to turn to like this or other foster kids you knew who wished they had had somebody to turn to?
Definitely. I spent my time in care in a small coastal town in Brookings, and then I moved to Ashland when I was 15. And in both places, you know, there were a fair shortage of other foster youth that I could talk to and that sort of thing. And even, you know, not only with myself, but, you know, especially others that I knew while I was in care, having this ombudsman would have been incredibly beneficial and would have helped certain situations a lot.
So, Pamela Butler at Children First for Oregon, would the ombudsman have some sort of fast track or fast connection authority to be able to go right to the people who are being referenced by the calls?
Yeah, the great thing about the foster care ombudsman is that it is jointly managed by the Oregon Department of Human Services and the Governor's Advocacy Office. So they'll have some authority, some clout, they'll have connections, and they'll also have direct access to the Department of Human Services, the files, the online systems. They'll have relationships with people who work in the system, so they can just automatically give them a call if something comes up. Yeah, the goal is for them to be integrated, to be connected to the department and workers, but also have this neutrality of the governor's office and some leverage if they're coming up against issues.
Much has been said over the years, Pamela, about the caseload of the caseworkers in the foster care system working in Oregon's case for the Department of Human Services Child Welfare Division. Has anything happened in recent years to change that caseload at least a bit so that they're not all swamped by a huge number of cases? Is the ratio of cases to caseworkers a little better than it was perhaps 3-4 years ago?
I think because of the recession and budget cuts, that's probably not the case. I think the caseworker loads continue to be too high across the board. There were some investments this last session in bringing a higher ratio, lower ratio, getting more caseworkers in, hiring a lot of vacancies that were left open during the recession. And so that the hope with that was that they were able to decrease caseloads. But I think because of everything that's happened over the last several years with the recession, that caseloads just continue to be too high for people to manage.
Pamela Butler is one of our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the Child Welfare Policy Manager at Children First for Oregon. Zach Miller is a former foster child in Oregon, and we're talking about the foster care ombudsman in the process of being hired right now for the state of Oregon. California has one already. Join us on the Exchange for this subject, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. So, Pamela, are we talking about one person with a staff, one person with no staff? How will this office be set up?
This will be one person, but they're part of the ombudsman office with all the other ombudsmen. So they'll have people to learn from, people they can refer to, get some mentoring and coaching if they're new to that system. But overall, it will just be one person for now.
All right. So one busy person, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right. Zach Miller, are you pleased that the state of Oregon seems to be heading in this direction?
Incredibly so. I along with a lot of youth, all the youth at the Oregon Foster Youth Connection, we feel a sense of pride for being able to, get something like this passed through the Senate. And, now that we have this in place, it just, it feels great.
The kinds of things that the ombudsman would be there to respond to, though, and either one of you can address this question. I mean, honestly, my foster kids think it's cruel and unusual punishment to clean the bathroom floor. So what sorts of situations would be considered beyond the pale and what certainly within the zone of the ombudsman to respond to?
Well, this line will be, open for youth to call. And, and of course, there's always the youth thing or chores are just absolutely cruel and unusual punishment. I used to be that way when I was, when I was a teenager. But it'll be up to the ombudsman, just the different, to sift through these calls and figure out, whether it's, a kid calling about chores, not wanting to do chores or homework, or a kid calling about, a real situation happening, foster parent, being abusive or something along those lines.
And so, Pamela Butler, what are the situations that, we're just trying to find a zone here where the ombudsman is the more appropriate party to go to than a caseworker, for example?
Yeah, one of the big conversations we had when working on the bill was, children in foster care have these people. They have the lawyer, their caseworker, their supervisor of the caseworker. And a strong belief that those people should be gone to first, and I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But when a youth is coming up against walls with those folks because they're so tapped and they're so busy, they wanted somebody else to go to, especially if they felt that those people were not being responsive to the issues they were having. As far as what calls will come in, I think you'll have the full gamut. I think you'll have, a few youth calling because they're mad about getting grounded or goodness knows what. But after having talked to hundreds of foster youth across the state and talking to youth in other states, I believe there are a lot of kids who aren't speaking up about things going on. I think there'll be a lot of calls where the ombudsman is really just coaching youth to do conflict resolution. So coaching them to go talk to their foster parent, here's how you can resolve the problem yourself. I think there's a clear understanding that first and foremost, for a lot of issues, this person is going to be guiding youth through some, you know, lessons they might not have learned in the system on how to assert yourself and be empowered to speak up if you're feeling not listened to. I think that will be part of it. And then I think the other end, there will be abuse calls that come into that hotline because youth finally feel safe to call somewhere where there's not going to be retaliation. So I think you'll have the full spectrum. And the ombudsman is going to be a talented, intelligent individual who can sort through that, coach when they need to coach, and investigate when they need to investigate. And after interviewing a dozen people now, I think we'll find someone who can do that really well.
This is going to be a tricky position to hire for, though, isn't it?
Yes.
And what sorts of qualifications are you looking for, just on paper, versus anything that jumps out at you in the interview process?
Well, that's a good question. The governor's office, the administrator who runs the governor's office, was pretty passionate about this, is passionate about this position, and wanted to open it a little wider, you know, not just have people who've been in the department for years and years applying. And so the requirements, you know, to have a degree, to have a certain years of experience, they had all of that, but they weren't as restrictive as they could have been because she recognized that this is going to take a special person and that you should have cast the net wide. So we've got people applying from all different fields that have had experience working with foster youth. And what we're really looking for is that someone who can be sensitive to, you know, difficult situations, who can connect with youth, but also work with legislators and work with administrators and policymakers. Because this person's going to be in an interesting position to be navigating a lot of different worlds.
So is the ombudsman program for the foster care system considered a pilot program, or is this something that's going to be ongoing?
This is ongoing, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know Children First for Oregon works very hard on many different fronts for the benefit of children in Oregon. Is the installation of an ombudsman for the foster care system a big goal, or is it just one of many, many rungs in a ladder?
Yeah, this was actually a bill that was brought to us from youth who have been or are in the foster care system, and that group is called the Oregon Foster Youth Connection. It's a program that we run. Zach has been a member, I think, since 2009. And every session, every large session, they come with their top priority for advocacy. And this year it was the Youth Bill of Rights. And 2011, it was a tuition and fee waiver for foster youth who age out. We passed that. The session before, we expanded health care so that foster youth didn't lose their health care when they turned 18. The year before that, we worked on driver's license so that youth in care actually could go through a process to get their driver's license and gain that independence before they left the system. So, you know, there's lots every year that we're working on, and it really depends on what the youth want. And I know they'll have a conference this summer, and they'll come up with something else, and we'll go to Salem again.
Zach, I'm going to assume there's a sense of accomplishment here for you and the people you've worked with.
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, looking back at everything we've done and, you know, and looking forward at, you know, everything that we have, you know, the opportunity to change, because every year, you know, that I've been a part of the Oregon Foster Youth Connection, you know, we see our numbers grow. We see more youth come in. We see more youth realize, you know, oh, this is something I can do to help change the system. And it's awesome, you know, it's just awesome to see this happen, to see these youth, you know, take their issues and find a positive way to change them.
And as a result, Oregon will get a foster care ombudsman for the first time. Zach Miller is a former foster child. Pamela Butler is the Child Welfare Policy Manager at Children First for Oregon. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was great.